Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We trust that you're going to be blessed by listening to this message, that you will be encouraged, inspired into everything that God has planned and purposed for your life. So enjoy.
God has a great plan for me. Take your finger, put it to yourself, for me, for you, because God is personal. Although he has great plans and he is the God of all creation, of all the universe, he still sees me and he sees you. In all the intricacies and the details of our daily living, he sees us and he knows us and he understands. Because as we heard so eloquently put last week by Naomi, that God came and became a man. He came and identified himself with us. And this week as I've been praying, the Lord dropped a phrase into my heart about what he wanted to speak about this week. And it's more about what I believe he wants to do in us. And the phrase that he dropped in my spirit was courage under fire. We need courage under fire. And who knows that our courage sometimes is under fire? Our faith, courage is another word for faith. And our faith is constantly under fire. It's constantly under attack. It's constantly something that the enemy, the world, our flesh is coming to shoot at, to attack, to pull down, to tear down. And God wants to give us courage in that place when we're under fire. If you identify, just wave at me. If you've got some arrows coming your way. God has equipped us. We've got the shield of faith, which actually is like the shield of courage. And so this morning, we're going to look at what courage is. And God wants to release courage. And I believe some things are going to fall off of us this morning, off of our circumstances, where the opposite, discouragement, fear, have come. Now, maybe when you think of courage, this is what you think of. Remember that? Braveheart, Mel Gibson. Maybe you think of that. That's D-Day. There's a great war movie coming out, which I'm looking forward to going and seeing, about our history, D-Day. What a sight. They've hit the beaches. They're running towards the enemy. They're running towards the battle line, not knowing what's ahead of them. That's like you and me in our faith. We run towards the enemy, because Jesus said we're in the world but not of it, and he said go into all the earth. So that's you. Amen. Maybe when you think of courage, you think of that, someone who's conquered Everest. That's the highest point in the whole earth, Mount Everest. You think of Mount Everest. Next one. Oh, I think I did it then, did I? Or did you do it? Maybe you think of our Paralympians. Incredible courage. Just to get out of bed in the morning, let alone go and compete at an Olympic level. And these guys, I certainly think of them when I think of courage. Next one. Maybe you think of this. I don't know what you see when you see those pictures. I see entrepreneurs. I see an entrepreneurial spirit in that lady on the right. There's what, 1, 2, 3 children on her back? Using what she can to make a difference in her life. Courage. Next one. And then Mother Teresa. It takes courage to reach down to the lowest points. It takes courage to humble ourselves. And the word says that that's what God has done with us. He's humbled himself. He reaches down to make us great. He reaches down. That's what Jesus did. That's such a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. He reached down into our need, into our suffering, into our death, into our brokenness. And I love Mother Teresa's heart. She said, people who've not had any dignity in life, she said, let's give them dignity in their death. Just touch them, stroke them, be with them, and give them dignity in their death. Okay. Someone who's had a life-altering tragedy in their life. Learning to walk again. That's courage. Oh my goodness. That's courage. I know a few people like that. Where they've had to relearn the basics relearn things. That takes courage. Next one. Maybe this young girl, Malala, said to myself, you must be brave, you must not be afraid of anyone. You are only trying to get an education. You are not committing a crime. Fighting for the very basics. And again. And of course, this picture of our hero. Our hero, our greatest example of courage. When Jesus, the sinless, perfect man, hung and died, bled for us. And look at his words. The one who went to the cross, who was prepared to commit that ultimate act of courage. Actually, I think the greatest and most courageous thing that Jesus did was be separated from his Father. He'd never known that separation of sin. And he bore that for us. And he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Such a powerful scripture. And if you go on to the next one, there's loads of expressions that will describe to us. Sorry, go back one. This is just what the dictionary says about courage. But I wanted to put the words of Jesus in there first, because what he has to say about it is far more important than the dictionary, isn't it? But the dictionary unpacks it for us. Courage is the quality shown by someone who decides to do something difficult or dangerous, even though they may be afraid. Mental or moral strength to persevere and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And sometimes in all of our lives, there are difficult roads, even dangerous things that God asks us to do. Things that cause us in the natural to feel afraid. Could go to the next one. This is a famous statement from a very famous man in our country who... He is a picture. When I think of a courageous leader, I think of Winston Churchill. Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. And he was much better at doing the first part. In the natural, he wasn't a perfect man by any means. He made a lot of mistakes. But when it came to the time of battle, where the time where as a nation we needed courage, he was God's man for that moment. He epitomized courage at a time of great challenge. And we're not focusing on the person or the man. What I believe the Lord wants us to focus on is the spirit and the heart of courage that God wants to release in us. I know in my life, there have been seasons and there have been times, and there will be ahead where I need a greater courage than I currently have right now. I haven't shared an awful lot, and I don't intend to, unless the Lord leads me, about my time in politics. But many of you know I was in politics at a local level down in Sussex. And just to give you one instance, that probably demanded of me more faith than all my time, more courage than all my time in ministry. Why? Because there were battles in the natural to be won. And those battles sometimes are very real in our lives, aren't they? For me, what that looked like was death threats, literally, through the post. The police were having to watch my house. Jonathan and I having to be very mindful as we went out that now I'm in the public domain. And that takes courage. It's easy to say, oh, well, that's just easy, just do that. But that takes courage. That takes bravery. Another word that we could use, and I love this word for lots of reasons, and it's the word valor. Or to be valiant. You heard of that word? They made a movie the other year about a pigeon called Valiant. And you know, I couldn't face watching it because I thought, a pigeon is not my idea of valiance. But what does it mean to have valor, to have courage? It means to have personal bravery of heart. Is that working? Okay, lovely, thank you. It means that you have a personal bravery of heart. And in your circumstance, in your situation, you need that personal valiance, that personal bravery this week. And I want you to be specific in your minds this morning and in your hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to show you what that looks like. If you could take the opposite, what are the where would you hold back? Where would fear come in to stop you making a choice, to stop you maybe speaking out or being who you are? One of the other clips that I wanted to show, which unfortunately we can't do this morning, was from a movie. And I really recommend this movie called Hacksaw Ridge. Has anybody seen it? This gentleman here has. I think it was released last year or earlier this year. And it's about a Seventh-day Adventist who was a pacifist in the war. Now, Seventh-day Adventists believe that, you know, they can't pick up arms. They refuse to kill. That's one of the things that they do. And a man called Desmond Doss in 1945, who was a Seventh-day Adventist, he put himself forward to go to the front line in battle, to be a medic. And he had to fight. He nearly went to prison because he joined the army and then refused to pick up a gun because of his core convictions. And if you get an opportunity to watch that movie, I'd encourage you to do it. It's one of the most inspiring movies I've watched of late. And Desmond Doss went on to the battlefield. He was ridiculed. He was actually beaten by his fellow soldiers. He was told by his commanders, you know, he should be in prison, not on the front, that he was a coward. He was told he was the opposite to who he was. And eventually he won the right through divine intervention, through debate, through God's grace, to be able to go onto the front as a pacifist. And I think one of the ways they put it in one of the clips I was going to show you was to run into the face of battle without anything but his Bible and his faith. And why Desmond Doss is known is because they're on one particular night in this battle, they were going to what they called hell at that time in the Pacific area. And there was a place called Hacksaw Ridge, which had a 400-foot drop. The troops were being literally slaughtered on this mount, this hill, which they had to climb up. Desmond went up with the troops. There was a massive attack. Many, many lost their lives, and many were wounded. And Desmond stayed on the hill. And the whole movie is really about him saying this one prayer. Lord, just give me one more. Lord, just give me one more. And one by one, he went out into that plain, which was complete enemy territory, and he ministered to the wounded, to the dying, and he dragged them back. And that night, he saved 75 men. To save one man in those conditions would have been miraculous. And he absolutely won the respect of everyone. In fact, the following day, the men refused to go to battle unless Desmond went with them. And it was his Sabbath. And the men said, "We know it's your Sabbath." But the men said, "We don't," or the commander said this to him, "My men don't believe like you do, Desmond. They don't have courage like you do, but they believe that you believe. And so they'll follow you." And it takes courage to stand up and be who you are. But if you will stand up, and if we will stand up and be who we are, others will follow. And he led them the following day. And he was commended after the war. Many, many years later, he was commended. Let's just have a look in our Bibles about this spirit that God wants to, has released, but wants to pour out afresh on us this morning. In Isaiah chapter 11. And this is a really great insight into the nature, the character and the aspects. It's the characteristics of the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 11. And it's a prophetic scripture that's talking about Jesus. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. If you could move the tracks on, yeah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will take delight in the fear of the Lord. And we can see that there are these six characteristics to the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of might is the area that we are focusing in on today. This fortitude, this courage, this personal bravery of heart, that it comes from the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God can give us that and wants to give us that right in the face of battle, right in the face of fear, whatever that looks like in your situation right now. Martin Luther King said, we must build dikes of courage to hold back the flood of fear. Courage under fire, feeling fear yet choosing to act. A famous psychologist in America wrote about six different characteristics of courage. One of them is feeling fear yet choosing to act. Have you ever felt that? Where it's like you've got to do something and you feel afraid. Maybe your hands start sweating. Your heart starts beating a bit faster. You feel a bit hot. Why? Because fear actually is a spirit. We know that from Timothy, where God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. But I've given you a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So sometimes when that spirit comes to attack us, because we need to be courageous, we need to be valiant in that moment, we do it afraid. We choose to do it afraid. And so much, I believe, of our success, our victory, our moving forward in the kingdom of God is through our choices. That we simply choose to believe the word of God. Amen. Nelson Mandela said, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. And I think he knew something about that, didn't he? Courage is about doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. Have the courage to act instead of react. Yeah. And this is for the guides. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Come on, all you Western movie guys out there like John Wayne. Well, I know my husband does anyway. Saddle him up. If you don't know who John Wayne is, go and Google it and it will make sense. Following your heart. Following your heart will enable you to have courage, to release the Spirit of God on the inside. Having the courage to follow your heart. That, and actually another way of saying that is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells in our innermost being. And actually Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. And it's in those moments where we don't compromise that we follow our hearts, that we do what is right, that courage comes. That's where courage is needed. We need courage to follow our hearts. And the enemy of our souls, who is warring with us daily, wants us to compromise the convictions of our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is urging us on, just urging us on gently. Have courage. Follow your heart. Amen. It takes courage to show up and become who you really are. A lot of these sayings that I'm quoting, they're from very famous writers, poets, authors, people who've spent their whole lives thinking about the words to depict the essence of what they're trying to communicate. Persevering in the face of adversity. Oh, that word, persevering. When you hear that, you think, oh yeah, that's a lovely word, isn't it? We, none of us like it. Our flesh hates it because we live in a world of instant success, of, you know, overnight Facebook success, overnight viral success. That's the world that we live in. And yet, we need to persevere against the adversary, against the adversity. An American poet said, a hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is braver 5 minutes longer. Just to keep on keeping on. There's lots of other scriptures I could point to about that. Keeping on, keeping on. And I love this saying by another inspirational author. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. You ever felt like that? It's not always a big roar. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just that conviction. I'm going to try again tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be better. Tomorrow I will succeed. Amen. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog, Mark Twain said. I like that too. Now, does anybody recognize who this is? Anybody? Any historians here? Well, this is Smith Wigglesworth and his wife and his children. His five children. And this is another picture of his wife, Polly. And Polly was an amazing, amazing lady. She came to Christ. She had a background of the Salvation Army. That's where she got saved. Whereas Smith was in the Methodist movement. But Smith was there when Polly got saved. And he said the moment he saw her give her life to Jesus, he knew she was his. And it was the first time he'd seen her. And she had a strong calling, Polly. She was in ministry for 20 odd years before she died. They had ministry together. And it was all prior to really the ministry that Smith Wigglesworth is known for. And Smith was a plumber by trade. She was a preacher and a minister. She would preach the word. And Smith, how he described himself, this is how he described himself. He said, as the children came, Seth, Harold, Ernest, George and Alice, they prayed for them before they were born that they would belong to God. Smith would carry the children to church and look after them while Polly preached. Smith was no preacher himself, but he was a soul winner and he helped in the altar services. He felt it was Polly's work to put down the net and his to land the fish. Some years into their ministry, and this is a funny story, and it's really about pursuing and persevering. When his plumbing business was doing well and he'd worked day and night, his attendance at religious services declined as his heart grew cold towards God. The colder Smith grew, the hotter Polly became. Neither her evangelistic zeal nor her prayer life relaxed. Her quiet, consistent Christian life and witness made him look bad, and it irritated him. One night, when she was later than usual coming in from the service, he remarked, I am the master of this house and I'm not going to put up with you coming home at so late an hour. Polly replied, you may be my husband, Smith, but Christ is my master. This so annoyed Smith that he pushed her out the back door, but he had forgotten to lock the front door. She went around the house and she came in laughing, and she laughed so hard that he laughed as well. And she won him back to that fervency. And he then went on to, in one of his plumbing engagements, where he was plumbing, he went to another town, he went into a healing meeting and discovered the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing. And from there came home and Polly was baptized in the Spirit and their healing ministry began. And she actually was taken to be with the Lord then. But she persevered. What would have happened if she'd given up? And Smith's heart had just got colder and colder and colder. How many people wouldn't have come to Christ? How many people wouldn't have known the healing? He brought thousands and thousands into the kingdom of God through his ministry. Amen. Number four, standing up for what is right. We need courage just to stand up for what is right, just because it's right. Just because it's right. The greatest heroes stand up just because something is right. Not because they necessarily believe that they will walk away with their lives intact. The world will say success looks different to what we know is true success. The cross looked like defeat, but it was success. Because Jesus was doing what was right before God. The world called it defeat. And there will be situations that you and I are in where it will look like defeat, but it's not defeat if you're standing up for what is right. If you Google me politically, you'll see loads of things that don't look like success. You'll see some things that look like success, but you'll see some things that look like failure in the world's eyes. Why? Because I made a choice. I won't compromise. I will stand up for what is right, regardless of what the papers say, regardless of what the critics say. I'll stand up for what is right. And God gives us courage to do that. Amen. And we can laugh in that place. A biblical example of that, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Amazing. What did they say? They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, remember they were going to be thrown into the fire because they wouldn't worship Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't bow down to his image. They said, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. We will do what is right before God. Peter and John and the other apostles, they said the same thing when they were arrested in the early days, didn't they? When they were commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, you judge, is it right for us to obey man or to obey God? They had courage that came from the Spirit. The Spirit alone gives us that kind of courage. In the natural, we're afraid. But as we yield to the Spirit of God and he comes and gives us courage, we can stand in the most difficult of situations. Expanding our horizons, letting go of the familiar. We need courage to do that. We need courage. Listen to this. Man cannot discover new oceans unless he has the courage to lose sight of the shore. Lord Chesterfield said that. You want to see a new horizon? You've got to lose sight of the shore. You've got to lose sight of the familiar. You've got to be prepared to step out of your comfort zone, to expand your horizons, to let go of the familiar. Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. Is your life expanding? Is your life growing? Because you're allowing yourself to face fear, to do it afraid, to be courageous every day. Every day. Every day. You see, the enemy is very happy for us to settle with a safe, mediocre, small world. And that's not God's heart. Because, as I've said before, time is our greatest gift. We have one life, and the Bible describes it as fleeting. Fleeting. So let's make the most of every day. Let's be courageous people every day. Every day. Amen. We live for eternity, Scripture says. We're aliens and strangers in the world, it says in the book of Peter. Why? Because we're living for that unseen realm. We're storing up treasure in heaven. We're not living for the temporal pleasure of today. Amen. Creativity takes courage. All you creatives in the room. To be creative takes courage. To put out there something that's different. This is Matisse, who, famous artist. You might like his stuff, you might hate it. But he was courageous enough to put it out there. Say, this is my expression of who I am. The creativity, it's one of the things, been chatting with some of you in the church, we want to see in the church here, all the creative giftings coming forward. Be creative. I love what they're doing with the children. Let's see more of that. The creativity of God being released among us. That takes courage. Takes courage. We face suffering with dignity and with faith. A man of courage or a woman of courage is also a woman of faith or a man of faith. Those things are interlinked. There is no need to be ashamed of tears, for tears bear witness that a man has the greatest of courage, the courage to suffer. And again, there's lots of words that I'm using today that are not popular words. Perseverance, suffering. And yet they are intrinsically linked to our calling in Christ, to the gospel of Jesus, who suffered and set us the example and said, Paul actually said, I count it a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ. If God has entrusted, and I would put it this way to you, if God has entrusted suffering to you, thank him. Find a place in the suffering where you can thank him. And it's there. Some of you know it's there. You've already found it. Some of you are on the journey. But he entrusts suffering to us, actually, at times. And I don't use that word lightly. And we don't live expecting and believing and looking for suffering. But it is part of the gospel. It's part of our calling in Christ. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world. Scripture makes it clear. It's not people we're talking about that we need courage with. It might look like it's people where you need your courage. But it's a good reminder that it's behind the words. It's behind the actions. It's what's going on in the spirit that the Lord is really calling us to stand up and have courage about. This scripture is an interesting one. It's out of a story in Chronicles, and it says, when Asa heard the words of the prophecy He took courage. And God wants to bring courage and strength and faith to us through that word of prophecy. What's the prophetic word? It's the now word. It's when God's word becomes real now in our circumstance. And you can put all your books and papers and stuff down, because we're going to spend a little bit of time praying and allowing the Lord to speak to us. The worship team could come up. So I believe God wants to minister to us all this morning, for us all to really receive from Him. We're going to open up this altar at the front for anyone who would like personal prayer, personal ministry this morning. We don't do this every week, but this morning I felt the Lord say He wants to release that courage. And there are very real circumstances, very real situations that He wants to release. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you.
We trust that you have been encouraged by the word today, and we pray over each and every one of you that God will do a sovereign work in your life. If you want to ask further questions, then please get in touch with us. All the details are on the website, www.kingdomfaith.com, where you can contact us for any further information. God bless you.